This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we have inspiring music to share with you, and John Bradshaw will have our devotional thought.
Plus, we'll be making cabbage salad with our friends from the Healthy Foodie and looking at another artistic episode of Masterstroke.
Don't miss it. Good morning and happy Wednesday to you, and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. You know, it's a brand new day, and don't you just love new days and new beginnings?
You know, there's something about it. It's so refreshing. It's like starting all over again.
Yes.
Whatever happened yesterday doesn't matter, because now we have today in front of us.
And as you begin this new day, we want to remind you that God's promises to be with you wherever you go.
And it's also International Self-Care Day, and wow, is this not an important topic. Self-care is often neglected, especially as we get caught up in our busy day-to-day lives. It's easy to get caught up in the hustle and the bustle of life and forget to take care of our own health and wellness. So today, we want to encourage you to practice self-care, even if all you do is take a walk and spend some time in the fresh air.
You know, also a major part of self-care is eating nutritious foods. And on today's program, our friends from the Healthy Foodie will be sharing the perfect recipe to help you get on track. But first, let's take a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On July 24, 1911, American archaeologist Hiram Bingham laid eyes on the ruins of Machu Picchu for the first time. This ancient Inca settlement in Peru has since become one of the world's most popular tourist destinations. Nestled in the rugged countryside northwest of Cusco, Machu Picchu is thought to have served as a summer retreat for Inca leaders whose civilization was nearly eradicated by Spanish explorers in the 16th century. For centuries thereafter, its presence remained a secret, known solely to the local peasants. However, everything changed in the summer of 1911 when Bingham and a small expedition team arrived to explore the renowned lost city of the Incas.
You know, though hidden from most of the world, Machu Picchu was not truly lost. Though only a few knew about it, it was never hidden from God. And so it is with you and me. No matter how insignificant we may seem in this large world of over, 8 billion people, to God, we are indeed highly significant. We're not just another person. We are the only one of us. So wherever you go, whatever you do, remember that you are not hidden. God sees you. He hears you. He cares for you. And you will never, never be let go by Him.
I'm so thankful for that promise.
Mm.
Well, this morning we are making cabbage salad as we head into the kitchen now with our friends from the Healthy Foodie. From a painting of a boy blowing bubbles. Why are children blowing bubbles featured in so many famous paintings? Well, let's find out what it means for us on today's episode of Masterstroke.
Boy Blowing Bubbles was painted by Edvard Manet in 1867. It's quite a stark painting. Just a boy holding a bowl of soapy water in one hand and blowing a bubble held through a pipe in the other. You can see him concentrating on making sure he blows the perfect bubble.
When I'm happy, nothing's going to stop me. I'm making my way home, I'm making my way.
The reason I went to see this painting is because all over the world I'd seen similar paintings. There are children blowing bubbles all over the place, and this dated back for some centuries. How weird. What's this all about? Well, the intrigue got to me. So when I researched the theme, I discovered that soap bubbles have been used throughout history as an illustration of human life. We come into being, we hang around for a while, and then pop, we're gone. All of us will die. Sometimes suddenly. And these paintings are a symbol of the futility of life. The Bible agrees with the overall concept of these paintings. Notice this statement. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off. But the word of the Lord endures forever. All of us are like grass in the fields. We spring up, we hang around for a while, and then wither and die. But God's promises will endure forever. And because of that, you can trust God with anything and everything. The key message I get from this painting is this. Life on this earth is a bubble. But what will go on forever is a life in heaven. That's our true home. A life and a home that will never pop.
When we return, we're going to have music, inspiring music, and later Don Bradshaw joins us to share a devotional thought.
Don't forget, if you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup and find us on YouTube to subscribe to our channel and keep up with us there. We'll be right back.
Think for a minute. Can you hope to find love? Love is not an option. It is a requirement for living. We need love as we need air, water, rest. Not a single thing can withstand its absence. Love is the essence of life and the reason for living. It is the moving force that ignites the smallest living fragments and sculpts the entire universe. Love is what binds eternity and infinity. From beginning to end, everything is about love. For love is not a feeling. Love is a being. God is love. His character is love. Love is not what he has. It's who he is. And nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from his love. So if you hope to find love, pause and think for a minute. Are you letting love find you?
Music has the power to be a healing balm to our souls. It's also a natural part of worship as we ponder and consider the amazing love of God. Join us now as the Collingsworth family sings Tell the Mountain.
In the foothills of sorrow, looking up from the valley of fear, see doubt off in the distance, and you're about to lose heart right here. But don't ever give in, don't ever give up. God is with you and you'll overcome.
The mountain will tell you
strength for the journey. The very hour you needed it too. So don't be discouraged, cause time after time, God's never failed you. Go on and climb.
No mountain will tell you that you can't make it over. It will try to convince you that it's way too high.
If you're enjoying today's program, be sure to share it and spread a little love. You can also visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup. We have to stop for a short break, but when we return, we're going to have today's devotional thought by Pastor John Bradshaw. Stay with us.
Welcome back, friends.
John Bradshaw from It Is Written is with us here today to share a devotional thought.
Hi there, this is John Bradshaw from It Is Written. I hope you are well and blessed and encouraged in the Lord. I believe there is a great day ahead today, and there's a great day ahead. Jesus is coming back to this earth soon, I believe, based on what we believe in the Bible. That's a great day that I hope you are looking forward to with all your heart. You might accuse me today of meddling just a little bit, although I promise you I'm not going to meddle. There are times that the Bible really comes close to us. Now listen, if you're studying Daniel chapter 12 or Daniel chapter 11 or Daniel chapter 10, I guess I could say if you're studying Daniel, but the prophecies of Daniel, which are found largely in the second half of the book of Daniel, honestly, they don't step on your toes. Now, you might have some closely held theological belief, a belief about the Bible, and you learn something, oh, that might challenge me. But unless that's happening, nothing about the prophecies of the Bible, those prophecies, really has the potential to upset you, to really feel like it's bugging your heart or speaking to the intricacies of your life. Much of the Bible is, how do I say, I don't want to say theoretical, but intellectual. Can I put it that way? You're looking at a prophecy, you're looking at a psalm, you're looking at some history. But what about those parts of the Bible that really rub your fur the wrong way, or at least could do? So, that having been said, let's consider this. I'll ask you a question. Have you ever said something like, I just snapped, something like that. I just lost it. I didn't mean to, but I said what I shouldn't have said because just in the heat of the moment, I couldn't do anything else. You ever seen anything like that? Ever had that experience? Now, of course, you might not want to admit that. So let me ask about this. Do you know people who have? Yeah, of course you do. There's a phenomenon that we never had when I was a kid. At least no one talked about it like this, although I had seen it play out. And that's road rage. It's very common today. Maybe 10 or 15 years ago, it became a thing. But where people driving on the roads just get angry with somebody and they lose their sense and crazy things happen. And road rage. Well, what were you doing, man? Oh, look, I was driving on the road. That guy did something dangerous. I just lost it. Next thing, I just lost it. You hear very tragic accounts of where somebody maybe got in a heated discussion and someone was insulted or wounded or some such thing, and somebody draws a gun and fires a shot, and often after that those are consequences that you cannot roll back. So this happens in a variety of ways, sometimes very tragic, other times maybe embarrassing or unsettling or uncomfortable or something that you regret. So what do you do about that? Here's what the Bible says in James 1 and verse 20. It says, the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God, it says in the King James. New King James says something very similar. It does not produce righteousness. You know people as well as I do who are just angry. Angry at the world, angry about whatever, mad at their boss, mad at their family, mad at you, mad at me. Just mad. They're just angry people. What does that actually accomplish? If you have a grudge, if you're angry, if you're mean-spirited, that can push you to some really unfortunate places. And at the end of the day, and I do mean that quite literally, you look back over the day, you will regret harboring those thoughts, indulging those passions, expressing that anger. You know what I don't think I've ever met? I don't think I've ever met a person who a day, a week, a month, or a year afterwards looks back and says, I'm really glad that I lost my temper. I feel so good about having lost my cool. Now, I've met people who say, I told him so and he deserved to have it, but that may be a horse of a different color. Do you ever feel like you grew as a person or you left a great impression or you helped a situation? No, you never felt that way. But many of us wrestle with controlling our temper. Now, what's interesting is this. Sometimes you can go through life and you're on a pretty even keel, but you just get in that situation and then you blow up. So why is that? I'll tell you why. It's because you have not practiced, you have not got into the habit of surrendering to God when the temperature gets turned up. I mean, when you're driving and it's 71 degrees and you stop at the supermarket and you get a parking space right out front and you walk inside and, hello, sir or madam, how are you? And, oh, wow, I came for beans and they're half price. And it's pretty easy to be a Christian under those circumstances. It's pretty easy to be an even-keeled human being. But then, you know, when everything starts falling apart and you get in this difficult situation, you feel like you've let people down or you feel like you're not going to make it in time, you feel like someone has let you down, you can sometimes manifest behavior that the day before when things were even, you were not going to manifest. So what you want to do, connect to God and be in the habit of communicating with God. If you are that person who communicates with God on a moment-by-moment basis, on a situation-by-situation basis, then when you get squeezed, your default reaction is not to scream or shout or yelp or punch or claw. Your default reaction is to turn to God and say, I'm being squeezed and I need your help. The good thing, if I can say that, about you losing your cool is it shows you that you've got a problem. And I don't mind telling you that if you're one of those people who loses their cool, you got a problem. It's showing you what's on the inside. So when that is revealed, when what's on the inside spills out, you realize that there's a problem on the inside. So you go to God and you say, you got to do something about that. And you go again and you go again and you go again. And here's the truth. Even though you might slip at times, you can get to the place where Jesus so fills you, where his spirit so overtakes you, that you're not that angry, reactionary, irascible, cantankerous person that you used to be. Or you're not that person who goes along, and then flares up, and then settles down and then goes on again. You don't want to be that person. Because you feel lousy about yourself, other people feel lousy about you, and it doesn't represent the God of heaven. So we're going to let Jesus into our hearts. We're going to pray that prayer every day. We'll pray it during the day. When you get into a situation, so, I can feel the tension rising. That's when you pray again. Lord, I'm in a situation here. I know what happened last time. I lost my cool. I don't want to do it again. And you pray. Sometimes you got to pray, get up and leave the room. Sometimes you got to pray and block out the noise. Sometimes you got to pray and, I don't know, change the channel or whatever the case might be. Learn to answer in a sweet way. But it happens, doesn't it? Life is going on, and the next minute you are losing your cool. You are shouting at somebody. You are saying things that you don't want your mother to hear you say. You can do better than that. because Jesus at work in your life can do better than that. Be a better world if we all answered kindly and didn't lose our cool when our feathers are ruffled. God won't take away the ruffling. Sometimes he might, but he'll allow you to be ruffled so you'll see what's on the inside. Remember, anger doesn't work the righteousness of God. So give that to God and let God even you out and live a life with far fewer regrets. Have a great day. Looking forward to seeing you again. Until then, God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor John, for encouraging us this morning.
And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope and spending your morning with us. We enjoyed our time together.
Don't forget to join us tomorrow. We'll be talking about how to overcome the fear of failure, parenting tips from our friends at The Parenting Place, another Reflections of Hope episode, and so much more. Don't miss it. And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more about the Bible, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, that's hope.study. We are sure our free Bible studies will be a blessing to you. And we can't leave without sharing our daily Bible promise. And today's promise comes from John chapter 8, verse 36.
So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed.
And friends, that is a promise. You will be free. Free from the bondage of sin, free from helplessness, free from the burdens of this world. You know, God will be with you. And in Him, you can find a faithful friend, a friend that sticks closer than a brother, a friend that will empower you to live a life of joy and peace in spite of circumstances. His freedom is sure.
Amen. Well, friends, we pray you've begun this day with a grateful heart because of Jesus' love and hope for you. May the Lord bless you abundantly with a wonderful Wednesday.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for the peace and the joy that gives our hearts. We don't have to live as slaves to circumstances and trials and problems. We can look up to you and find that in Christ we are set free. And I pray, Lord, that that would bring a song to our hearts today, a song of hope. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.